blessed by being here. And I know for us, it's our first Sunday here, but we have been watching the services online for probably 3 months, I would say, actually. And we have absolutely fallen in love with Christ Community Church. We love you so much. And love you, Jim. And love the elders. And love the leaders in this church. And those who I've just met this morning, just praise God. Just the opportunity to be here. There's something special that's happening here. I believe there's a word of revival, and I've shared that with the leadership, that God is doing here in this county, in this region. And I just would be honored to be a part of that. It would just be such a blessing to me. So, and I know for some of us, we haven't had the opportunity to meet. And for us, this Sunday, we're visitors. And maybe for some of you, you're a visitor first time or second time. And just as Venus and I have felt that we are friends to each of you, we hope that though you came in as a visitor, you leave as a friend, that you leave as a friend from this place. And so we're just so thankful for each of you. And I wanted to share with you guys before getting into the message, I really was praying over the last 3 weeks when I knew I was going to come this weekend. Lord, what do you want to say? Because what you all need to hear and what we all need to hear, what the church needs to hear is not just another message. But they need to hear, we need to hear from the Lord. And I believe God's word is inerrant, it's perfect, it's without fail. But I also believe that there is a kairos moment, which means an appointed time and season. And I believe there's a rhema word, there's a specific word that God wants to give to each of us, and we just need to be listening. And so I was driving my car to the park in Tennessee, where we're from, and I just pulled my car in front of the park that's near our house, and I just was flipping through scripture myself, and I came to Ephesians 6, and I read verse 10, and we're going to get into that, but I just started weeping. I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that, where maybe you've read a verse your whole life, and then the Lord reveals something so new. It's not that the verse wasn't there to begin with, but there's something new that God reveals from the scriptures, and that's what happened with me personally. It wasn't just in the preparatory time of the sermon. I was just weeping myself. Wow. But I also believe that it's a word for this congregation, because I believe many of us in this room are spiritually bombarded by the enemy and are tired and exhausted, and you've been doing everything you've known to do. You do the things that the scriptures command us to do, but you're tired. And I believe this morning that God wants to reorient the way in which we fight, the way in which we wage war, from the posture in which we wage war. I believe God wants to do something in our hearts to reorient the prism to which we look at the spiritual battle we face, because we are all in a spiritual war, whether we're aware of it or not. And we need what the scriptures here will tell us to walk in the righteousness of God. We need to walk aware of the spiritual battle. But there is a way in which we need to walk that I think I have missed. And I think maybe some of us have oftentimes glanced over it. So if you have your Bibles, I won't be on the screen this morning, but we're going to be reading from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And we're going to be focusing primarily on verses 10 through 13, but we're going to be reading the entire chapter 6, verse 10 through 20, just to get the context of everything. And if you're like me and you take notes, the title of the sermon is In the Strength of His Might. In the Strength of His Might. So, if you have your Bibles, read with me. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of God this morning. And if you're with me this morning, I want you to just take one more time. Let's take a moment to pray. So pray with me in your seat. Lord, we just thank you so much for this word, God. We thank you, Lord, for the hearers of the word. And Lord, I pray, God, I just would get out of the way. You would increase, God. I would decrease. And Lord, I pray, even in this moment right now, as my brothers and sisters are in their seats, they would begin to cry out to you, Lord. Lord, whatever would hinder us from hearing this word, God, whatever would keep us from hearing this word, whatever distraction there is that we came in with, God, I pray it would go by the wayside, Lord, and we would just hear the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning. God, there is a word for each of us in this room. God, there is a ministry you want to bring in this room. And so right now, as my brothers and sisters in their seat, I pray that you would even in their hearts say, Lord, I receive what you have this morning. I receive what you have this morning. I receive what you have this morning. And I surrender, God, to what you have for my life. Lord, we glorify you and honor you in this place in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So we read a little bit of the context of Ephesians 6, reading all 11 verses, but just to kind of give us a little bit of the broader context of what's going on in Ephesians, and Keith has done so well teaching, and I'm sure there's been a lot of teaching on Ephesians throughout the church, but it's always good to be reminded what's actually happening. So in the time of Ephesus, Paul's writing from prison. It's one of his four prison epistles, and he's writing in the barracks of Rome. He's writing in a prison cell. And if you want, I was kind of closing my eyes, almost envisioning Paul in shackles, or maybe he was orating to a messenger to send this letter out, or he was actually writing it in his cell. But I envision him almost visualizing in front of him a soldier standing in front of the door of the cell, or whatever they would use in the time of the first century. And the soldier would have a Roman signa, and he would have the helmet on, and he would have the breastplate on, and he would have a belt on, and all these things that the armament a Roman soldier would have. And so Paul is comparing all this to what we are called to wear as Christians. And by nature, the full armor that we'll get into a little bit is supernatural in nature. Salvation, meaning that the helmet of salvation, is not something inherent to our nature, right? The breastplate of righteousness is not something inherent to our nature. It's something that we wear. It's something that we receive. And so Paul's making this comparative nature to what he's visualizing and seeing, to what the Christian is called to wear. And something that's really interesting, if you read through Ephesians, really the first five chapters, Paul is giving really a summary here in chapter 6 of what he spent the entire book of Ephesians on. And so just to give a couple examples, speaking of the helmet of salvation, Paul in Ephesians 2:8, he says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. He also, in Ephesians 1:13, he calls it the gospel of your salvation. And speaking of, for an example, the breastplate of righteousness, Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, that I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. Right? And then the belt of truth that holds the spiritual nucleus of the believer. Paul makes that kind of illustration. He says in 1:13, he calls it the word of truth, the gospel. And then in chapter 4, verse 15, he gives admonition for them to speak the truth in love. So throughout the entire book of Ephesians, one thing we need to understand is that Paul is building something here. This is a crescendo to his argument and what he's been saying throughout the entire letter. And so he then says in verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And I think here, Paul is very tactful with what he's doing here. Finally is a sense of finality to what he's sharing. He's saying, in summary, finally. And what does he say? Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. When I read this verse, the reason why I was weeping in the car was, I don't know how many times I would immediately go to verse 11, put on the full armor of God, which is absolutely true. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about that this morning. What does it mean to put on the whole armor? Of course, we're going to talk about that. I don't know about you, but like when I read verse 10, it's almost like I just skim through that. But it's almost like a glance over it. Why didn't Paul start with put on the whole armor? This is the whole thing he's saying. This is the premise to what he's saying. Put on the whole armor. The reason why he says be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might is everything that he's about to say in verse 11 and 20 is built on the foundation of verse 10. And without it, everything else falls apart. Everything else falls apart, and it's the foundation in which we fight. Otherwise, guys, if we're in a battle, we're just flailing our arms. If we're not carried by the strength of God, and that's the prism with which we fight, we're not defenseless, but we're running aimless almost. And I think Paul's getting at something deeper that sometimes often is missed, at least for me. And in a lot of messages I've heard on the full armor, I rarely hear a message about verse 10 that is the foundation to what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I don't want you to miss this, because I believe God wants to refresh and renew your soul this morning, because we need renewal in our hearts. As I mentioned previous, many of us are fighting and waging war, and you're well aware of the spiritual attack, but you need the endowment of his strength presently. You need the strength of his might to carry forward. And that's what God wants to infuse you with. God wants to breathe that upon each of you in this room this morning. Amen. Amen. And if that was not amazing enough, when I was preparing this, I was also blown away. I think all of us should and do, but I found this just going deeper in the Word, I just love it. And one of the things that when I was doing my study in the time, I'm not going to talk over you guys at all by any means, but one thing that's interesting is when we read verse 11, put on the full armor, that is a command. It's what's called an imperative. Imperative is a command. It's something that the Greek has different moods to different words that have different connotations. So not that words are moody, right? But that... At least my words can be sometimes moody, but that there's different moods in the Greek, and so put on the full armor is something that's an imperative, right? But what's so interesting, when you read the New Testament, prior to any command or imperative given, what comes before it or after it is what's called an indicative mood. And what an indicative is, it's describing the actuality of a statement. So an example of that would be in 1 John 4, where it says, God is love. There's a verifiable truth that's an actual statement. And so prior to Paul saying, put on the whole armor, he gives the indicative. And he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And even more than that, when it says be strong or be strengthened, Paul's saying something that's a passive verb, meaning that it is to has already been received. This is profound because Paul's also saying something in present tense, right? So he's saying something that's happening in the present, but he's also saying something about you have already received this strength. Be strong, be strengthened, receive the strength in which you've already received if you're a Christian. You have God's Spirit living in you. The strength of God is inside of you. It's not inherent to our nature, but you have a new nature now in Christ Jesus. And so when it says be strong in the Lord, Paul is getting at receive what is already yours in Christ Jesus through the atonement, through the cross. Receive what is already yours and then walk in the strength of his might is what we're called to abide in. But be strong is something that is already received. And remember when I mentioned previous to this in Ephesians where Paul's already, he's giving a summary of what he already talked about in Ephesians throughout the entire book. So helmet of salvation talks about salvation, belt of truth talks about truth, he parses through it. But did you know that prior to the strength of his might that he says be strong in, he says it in Ephesians 2, and he actually prays it over the church. So if you want to open to Ephesians 1:19, you'll see this prayer that Paul makes. It's just remarkable. Ephesians 1, 19, it says, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might." And so, when you read Ephesians 1, Paul prays that they would be aware of the inheritance, what is the hope to which they've been called, what they already have received. And when we read this verse in Ephesians 1, he's praying they would be aware of the greatness of God's power and strength that already abides in them. And he starts in Ephesians 1 with the strength of his might, and he ends in Ephesians 6 with the strength of his might. It's a tapestry. I love when God's word has this interconnection, it's interwoven. And you and I in this room have the strength already received, and it's the prism with which we wage war in the strength of his might. How freeing is that? I don't know about you, but that is absolutely freeing to me, that I am not waging war on my own, that you are not waging war at your own, that there is a real enemy, and we're going to talk about that today, not to bring him glory, because ultimately he's been defeated. Come on, right? He has been defeated through the blood of Jesus and through his resurrection, right? But we do need to be aware of his tactic and his schemes, and we're going to talk about that. But this has to be the foundation. Guys, this has to be. But in light of verse 10, how do we walk? How do we, in light of what Paul says about the strength of his might, how do we walk? And so Paul says here, the command, he says, "In light of the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Right? So, again, Paul's giving this command, put on the whole armor, right? He's saying, by nature, it is something that is of God. And so when he says put on the whole armor, it leaves us without excuse. We're called to put on each piece of the armor, to call to wear each piece of the armor in his strength, right? And in by nature, it's saying it's of God. It is from God. It is by God. It's through God. It's God has given this armor for us to wear. It's a gift, actually, that God has given us. And when we think about a battlefield that we face, spiritually speaking, it's a gift. And the reason why we need to put on the whole armor in this day and age that we're in right now and always is because there is a scheme that the enemy has against you and I. And schemes is not just something that is just a playtime, right? Schemes is something that is curated and coordinated by the enemy. Because the word, when you think about schemes, is something that is so unique. It's something that is only used twice in the New Testament. And it's used one other time, actually, in Ephesians. It's only used twice here and in Ephesians chapter 4. And so in verse 14 of chapter 4, he says, to not be overcome by deceitful schemes. Right, so this is absolutely unique to the book of Ephesians. And so why that's important is because when we think about the schemes of the enemy, I don't know about you, but in my life, they're very subtle, the attacks of the enemy. It's not something that oftentimes is abrasive, and we talked about that on Saturday men's Bible study, which is phenomenal, by the way. But we talked about that it's not something that oftentimes is abrasive. If you're a Christian in this room, we can discern what is abhorrently evil, right? When someone gives something that's a false teaching that's so contrary to the Bible, we should be like, okay, no, that's not of God, right? That is something that's demonic, a doctrine of demons, right? But there's also in our lives something, oftentimes, the subtlety of attack. And that is, I believe, the schemes that Satan wants to bring in you and what he does in our lives together. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something that usually happens in a gradual way. He's plotting against you and your family, Satan is. He is scheming against you and your family. And I do believe those who are in Christ Jesus, that those the Father has given Jesus, he will lose none of them. But I do believe also that Satan will do anything to try and interfere with the fellowship with God. And that is precisely why all of us in this room, we need to abide in his strength and receive the strength that he gives freely to us every day, but to walk in what is already yours, because the enemy is scheming. And when we think about this, there's a progression in our lives where oftentimes, and I'm sure you've seen this maybe in your family's life, maybe in your own life. For me, at least, I grew up in the church. I grew up hearing the word. But Satan seeded in my life a lot of just lies that I believed as a kid. And those lies snowballed into something much more deeper, into depression, into suicide back in high school, attempts on my life. It went from just a lie about my identity to something that snowballed into something much deeper. And I was undiscerning of it. Took the bait of the enemy. When sin is fully grown, it brings forth death, but it begins with a desire and temptation. And so this is why we need to put on the whole armor in the revelation of his strength. And Paul here is going to get into how does the enemy specifically attack? How does he specifically attack? And he says in verse 12, this is how he kind of coordinates his attack. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." When I think about what we wrestle against, Paul says it's something that we don't wrestle against. But when he says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, he is saying something that by nature we do wrestle with. It's something that, as a promise, that you and I are going to wrestle with. It's just not oftentimes what we think it is. And if you and I are honest in this room, when it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, oftentimes the attacks do seem to come from flesh and blood, right? You know that neighbor that's nasty to you? And I mean, if you're honest, you probably are a little nasty to them. That happens with me sometimes. I'm like, Lord, forgive me. No, but in all sincerity, there's sometimes in your life where you can't explain it. But there's someone in your life that just is just belligerent against you. And you love them and you pray for them and you're not doing it perfectly, but they just, for whatever reason, they have a hatred towards you. That's not your wrestle, is that person, is what Paul's saying. But oftentimes, it seems like it's the physical. In regards to what's happening in this world and the nations, right? Jesus says, in increasing measure, the love of many will grow cold, and there will be wolves in sheep's clothing, right, that are trying to devour the sheep. And so that seems to me like a physical attack. And I know for many of us, in your day-to-day life, it can seem like these are physical attacks. But that is not your wrestle. And this is what Paul is getting at. Your wrestle is not with the person or the thing that you can see naturally in front of you. What you're wrestling against is what's motivating that person to think the way they do or to do the things that they're doing. It's not the person itself. It's what is behind the veneer that we need spiritual eyes to see. Every single day, we need to put on the whole armor in the strength of his might. Because otherwise, we're going to be looking myopically at the attacks of the enemy rather than seeing in the spirit, rather than seeing what's actually happening to that person. And as we have revelation of this, what should take place, and we need his grace for it every day, but what should take place is we should be led with compassion for people that just are, that we see are just attacking. We need his compassion for them. We need to pray for them. We need to share the gospel and love with them. You know, and I pray that God gives us each that, like his eyes to see people the way he does, not just looking at what we can see. I fall so short of this too, by the way, but I do want to share a story with you all. So when I was in high school and then going into college, when I came back, I worked at Subway for about 5 years. And I'm from Connecticut originally, so I was working at a Subway. One of my owners owned about 8 Subways, so I visited my grandmother in a outside of New York, and my manager owned a Subway in Stamford, Connecticut, where my grandmother lived. So it's right on the border of New York City, so was working, cutting the bread, and this guy comes in with a New York accent. He comes in, and he says, I'll take an Italian VMT, and I can't do an accent or anything, but he ordered this VMT, and I start making the sandwich, following the formula, and the guy looks at me and says, man, you are the worst sandwich artist I have ever seen in my life. And he uses expletives out of nowhere. He says, I've owned a sandwich shop for 10 years. You don't know what blank you're doing, right? And I just look at him, and I'm like, oh. But prior to working at the Subway, I don't know if I would pray this Ephesians 6 through this each time, but I would pray, Lord, would you give me eyes to see people the way that you see them? And God, let me be ready to give an answer to the hope I've called. Let me respond in the Spirit. And I share this, that when this man was saying all the things he did, I looked at him beyond the flesh and blood, and I said, man, I just want to tell you something. I love you so much, and Jesus loves you so much. And he went absolutely quiet. He didn't know what to say. I wasn't trying to win an argument or anything, but I say that to you, ultimately share that for God's glory. No glory to me by any means. That was truly the strength of his might to be able to respond in that way. But I believe there's something deeper that God wants to get at here to us in the Spirit, that we're not wrestling against people. Amen. And a quick note as well, especially as we enter into political season, there is an inclement spiritual attack that happens on the church, Democrat against Republican. And God wants to lay the playing field to say, your wrestle is not against a political party. Your wrestle is against not flesh and blood. What is your wrestle against? And he says it here. He says, your wrestle is against rulers and authorities, cosmic powers. In the heavenly places, there is something that's happening in the demonic realm. And that is your wrestle. And so as the church, we need to be equipped to respond. And the only way to do that is in the strength of his might. Come on. The strength of his might. And one thing about, we think about what he says in verse 12 here, rulers and authorities, or cosmic powers, or things that are happening in the heavenly realms, right? There are, not that anything demonic is greater than the other. Everything in this passage can be in this nature demonic. But Paul's getting at something that's comes with specific attack. And so rulers and authorities, we're not going to get too much into it, but rulers and authorities can describe something more of an individual attack on a person. Ruler can be someone that has this heightened sense of an evil attack in their life, that is has rulership over their mind, right? Rulership over their heart. It's more of an individual attack against a person. Authorities is kind of almost synonymous with a rulership, but authorities can be a generalization of an evil attack on a person. Someone that just can't explain why they're underneath all spiritual attack that they're under. I do believe that things do happen in the flesh, but I do think very well there are assignments from the enemy that he gives to the Christian, and specifically the non-Christian. And there's something also, even more than this, there's something that's happening in the cosmos. There's cosmic powers. There's something that's happening corporately that Satan can kind of attack on a church, on a nation, on this world, that we need to be aware of. We need to. Because that's what you and I are wrestling against. And so I don't want to just pay any glory to the enemy. I want to bring our attention back to the Lord Jesus, because we talk about the tactics of the enemy. It's important to. But we need to do so in light of the strength that God has already supplied. Because some of you, when you see imminent darkness, when you see darkness in your life, you are afraid. You go to bed at night and you are absolutely afraid. You have night terrors at night and you're afraid to even go to sleep. This might be a word for someone, and I think the Lord wants to bring healing if that's you in this room, or maybe it's multiple people in this room. But you live afraid. And you hear this and it's like, oh, wow, yeah, the enemy's moving. Yeah, the enemy's moving. But I want to draw our attention to this. And speaking of rulers and authorities, if you want to open with me to Colossians 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 16. Hallelujah. Colossians 1, 16. It says, For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Jesus, in this, Colossians, has preeminence over all the demonic realm. And what it says is that it was created by him and for him. So when you are bombarded and you are harassed by the enemy and you hear this message, you're like, oh man, I'm afraid of the enemy's attack. No, this is not the point of the message. It's to say Jesus has preeminence over the ruler and the authorities, and his strength lives in you to wage war. And if we would just stand on his promise that God is faithful and he lives and abides in each of you, he has made his habitation in each of you. He lives inside of you, and we need not be afraid when we see the attacks both individually and corporately in our lives. We need to be drawn to the place of saying, God, endue me with your strength and help me to be aware of the strength you has already inside of me because of the Holy Spirit living in me. Right? We need that revelation in this room this morning. You are not defenseless. You are not a victim. Maybe some of you have been identified with your sickness or with your diagnosis, right? I do believe that there are sickness and diagnosis, but sometimes that's all that your identity becomes. It becomes that's what you are, and that's not what you are. That's not. The enemy wants to plague our mind to think that's all we are, and that's not the case. There is real sickness. There is real mental struggles. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord wants to bring not only healing, but he also wants to bring you to a place of solidarity in Christ and his strength. Hallelujah. And sharing the last verse, verse 13, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore. And Paul, again, we read verse 13, he repeats himself. He's grammatically repetitive in verse 13, and he does it again in verse 10 with strength, and here he does the word stand. Stand your ground, he says. And having done all to stand firm, he says. But then he also says, so that you may be able to withstand when you put on the whole armor. And withstanding is the idea of resisting, right? Resisting the schemes of the enemy, resisting the attacks of the enemy in your life. In saying all this, to say, God gives the strength, but we also have the responsibility as believers to respond. Right? That's why he says put on. That's why he says having done all. He says these things. So we have a responsibility. We don't just lift up our hands and we don't just say God is just a sovereigntist, and we do believe he's sovereign, but we have a calling to respond by all means. This is one of the messages. But I also believe, though, again, God is trying to get at something deeper than just do or just put on. This is important in the message. But if you're just hearing that this morning, that's not the message. When you and I put on the whole armor of God, it's directly reflective of his character. Because Jesus is coming back as a lion. He is coming back with authority. He comes back and has authority. He reigns. He is all supremacy, right? He's a warrior. He is God of love, but he's a warrior. And he's going to battle for you. Hallelujah. He's defeated the grave, right? There's all these passages in Scripture that speak of God as victor. And when you wear the armor, when we walk in the commandment, putting on the armor, you are looking more like the God who is a warrior, and he has made the church to be a warrior for his namesake, right? This is the entire message. When you put on the whole armor, you are looking more like Jesus. You're looking more like Jesus. I want to just share one last verse, and if you want to just listen, that's fine too. There's a famous passage that all of us probably know, or maybe some don't, but Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in verse 12, it says, I've learned the secret of being content, it says in verse 11. Then it says what it means to abound, what it means to be brought low. In all these circumstances, then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Meaning that Christ is strengthening him when he's brought low and when he's in plenty. And in the same way, when you are spiritually attacked or when you're aware of it, God gives the strength to wage war, to put on the whole armor. It's in the strength of his might. If the worship team wants to come forward, or Brian wants to come forward, I don't know how we want to do it, but I believe there's a time of ministry in this room right now. I believe that all of us in this room, just we need this awareness of the strength of his might. But there are some of you in this room, just you need the infusing of his strength in this moment. You're tired and you're weary, and God wants to fill your cup this morning. He wants to do it. If you're someone in this room and you've maybe come for a while, maybe this is your first Sunday, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, he wants to be Lord of your life. He wants you to know his victory. All these, this promise of the strength of his might is true for the believer, and it can be true for you in this room if you're not a Christian. He doesn't no longer want you to stand defenseless. He no longer wants the enemy to have reign and rule over your mind and heart. Jesus wants to reign and rule over your heart. He died for you on that cross for your sin. And he rose from the grave. He ascended to the Father. And now his resurrection power lives in you if you're a Christian. And for those that are not, he wants to resurrect you from the grave, the spiritual grave of your life. He wants to give you new life in Christ. He wants to bring healing to those that are oppressed and demonized. He wants to bring deliverance. He wants to set the captives free. He wants to do this in this room. And so if you're hearing this message and you just need prayer and you need the refilling and you don't know the Lord, and you want to know him, today is the day of salvation for you in this room. And so in this moment, we're going to have a time of response, a time to respond to the prompting of the Spirit of God. That's you in this room. I'm going to pray for you right now, and then we're going to respond together. Lord God, I praise you for everyone in this room, Lord. Not a coincidence, Lord, that the person sitting in there they are is where they're sitting. God, you ordained this meeting. And Lord, I pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this place right now. God, whatever fear there's been, I speak to the fear and command it to leave that person in the name of Jesus. The debilitating depression, God, I pray for healing in Jesus' name. The bombardment of tiredness, I speak to that. Bring healing in Jesus' name. The weariness in this room, God, there is refreshment and joy in the Holy Spirit in this room. God, to the person that doesn't know you, today is the day, Lord. You are knocking at the door of their heart, beseeching for them. You're beseeching for us. You're beseeching for a pure bride, God.